What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily for Thursday, July 29th, 2021. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the latest film and TV news. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm a senior writer at SlashFilm.com, and I am joined on today's episode by Slash Film senior writer and chief film critic, Chris Evangelista.
Oh, hello.
All right, Chris, we got four news items to talk about here. I'm guessing most of them will be quick, and then we'll spend a lot of time talking about the last one. So let's get started here. First of all, J.K. Simmons might be coming back to reprise his role as Commissioner Gordon in the new Batgirl movie for HBO Max. So this news just broke earlier today. And at first I was like, wait a second, does this mean that this Batgirl movie is in the Snyderverse? But that's not necessarily true, because as Jacob pointed out in our Slack channel, J.K. Simmons also played Commissioner Gordon in the theatrical cut of Justice League, which is, I guess, considered canon in the DC extended universe, while Zack Snyder's Justice League is considered this sort of like one-off thing. So I guess it's not as strange as it might immediately sound that J.K. Simmons is coming back. He's going to be, if this casting actually goes through, if this deal goes through, he's going to be, I think, the father, or at least the father figure to Leslie Grace, who was in The Heights, and she's been cast to play Batgirl. So, Chris, do you have any thoughts about J.K. Simmons coming back as Commissioner Gordon?
Good for him. I like J.K. Simmons. He had nothing to do in the theatrical cut of Justice League. He had a little more to do in the Snyder cut, but I'm all for him getting more to do in the DCEU, because I think he could make for a good Commissioner Gordon. It's interesting how there are now two, I guess there are three Commissioner Gordons, if that show. Is Pennyworth still on? Is Commissioner Gordon in that? I don't fucking know. All I know is that there's also the Jeffrey Wright Commissioner Gordon, and isn't he going to be part of the TV series that spun off of the Batman? And now we have this Commissioner Gordon, and maybe we're going to get the Commissioner Gordon team up movie where J.K. Simmons and Jeffrey Wright go through. It's like Into the Spider-Verse, but with Commissioner Gordon's, basically.
I would love that. I guess that might be potentially confusing to some people, because that spinoff of the Batman that you mentioned that Jeffrey Wright is probably going to play Commissioner Gordon in is also being made for HBO Max, which is where this Batgirl movie is going to debut. So if people are just clicking around the old HBO Max looking to get their Commissioner Gordon fix, they'll have multiple places to do so pretty soon. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about the Haunted Mansion reboot. There was some interesting casting news that came across the wire yesterday.
Yes, so Disney is once again trying to make a Haunted Mansion movie, and now they have Tiffany Haddish and Lakeith Stanfield lined up to star in this new take on the film. Lakeith Stanfield would be playing a, quote, a widower who once believed in the supernatural, but is now a rather lifeless tour guide in New Orleans' French Quarter. And Tiffany Haddish would play a psychic hired to commune with the dead. So We still don't know what the plot is about, but those are some hints right there about the direction this is going in.
Did we know that it was going to take place in New Orleans before?
I don't think so, but I think the original Haunted Mansion, the first one, which is in New Orleans Square or whatever the hell they call it there in Disney. So I guess it makes sense to set it there, but
okay. Yeah. I mean, I think we've talked in general about our like broader feelings about a Haunted Mansion movie and how this sort of feels like, you know, it's a little bit more up your alley than potentially some of the other Disney stuff. So are you still feeling that way with this new casting news here?
I'm curious to see how this turns out. You know, I will always wish they had gone with Guillermo del Toro, who did apparently a lot of work to make his own Haunted Mansion movie, and it just never came to be. But I'm curious to see how this works. I'm not a Disney parks person, but I love the Haunted Mansion because I love, you know, haunted houses and stuff like that. So I hope it turns out well. I do wish they would try and make a more, I don't want to say serious movie, because you can't make a serious movie about the Haunted Mansion, but I just have a feeling they're going to try and make this funny, which is what they did with the Eddie Murphy movie, and no one liked that, but who am I to tell Disney what to do?
Yeah. Yeah. Justin Simien is writing and directing this, and I've enjoyed the work that he's done with the Dear White People movie and the Dear White People show that came out on Netflix. And I think that show has a good mix of dramatic heft and also some humorous moments. So maybe he'll be able to sort of port some of that tone over as well to this Haunted Mansion project. All right. So one of the other stories that we wanted to mention is basically like a theoretical story about what might happen with Christopher Nolan's next movie. So we don't even know what this movie is. He has not announced that he has a new one, you know, sort of in the pipeline or anything yet. But a report, I think this was early this year, maybe late last year, in the Wall Street Journal, said that it seemed very likely that Nolan would not be making his next movie with Warner Brothers, which has been his traditional studio home ever since, the days of Insomnia, like a long time, you know, even before the Batman trilogy. So Scott Stuber, who is a producer and film executive who now works for Netflix. I mean, he's been working for Netflix for a long, long time at this point, and he has been the guy who has sort of turned Netflix into arguably like the powerhouse that it is in terms of being able to lure A-list talent over there on the film side. And in this big profile of Scott Stuber that was recently published in Variety, basically the outlet reveals that Stuber has been having, quote, ongoing conversations with Christopher Nolan about the possibility of bringing Nolan's next movie to Netflix, which is just kind of a crazy thing that I never thought would happen, considering how Nolan has been so, so much of a huge proponent of the theatrical experience. Stuber said, if and when he comes up with his new movie, it's about, can we be a home for it? And what would we need to do to make that happen? He is an incredible filmmaker. I'm going to do everything I can in this business. I've learned you have to have zero ego. I get punched, knocked down, and get back up. So evidently Scott Stuber is a big Chumbawamba fan. So do you have any...
Aren't we all, though?
Do you have any general thoughts about this, Chris? I mean, I know, like I said, it's very theoretical at this point, and it basically just sounds like Netflix is willing to spend whatever absurd amount of money that they need to be in the conversation when Nolan's next movie sort of comes back around. But do you think that this would be something that that Nolan would actually do, make the jump to Netflix?
I can't see it happening unless Netflix like guarantees him some sort of theatrical exclusive window, and Netflix doesn't really seem interested in that. Like, yes, they do theatrical releases, but they have no interest in being so exclusive to theaters. And that's Nolan's big thing. And I just can't imagine him saying yes. But then again, you know, the way things are, you know, things change and the movie landscape is in such a weird place right now. Mm-hmm, so I guess it could happen. You know, I don't think Christopher Nolan is like this, you know, asshole unreasonable guy that some people make him out to. Like, I remember a few months ago there was like that rumor going around that he didn't allow chairs on his set or something. Like, I don't think he's that bad of a, you know, he's not like a tyrant basically. So I do think he might be swayed eventually, but I really don't know. It's very weird.
I think you're right. I think it comes down to whether or not Netflix would give him any sort of theatrical exclusivity. And I think a lot of the stuff that they've done in the past, correct me if I'm wrong, but they've, you know, if they've put movies in theaters before, but it's generally only been for what, like a couple weeks or something max before those movies are then available on the streamer. Is that right?
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
That's right.
So, but yeah, I think you make a good point. Like the idea of the ground shifting under Hollywood's feet so tumultuously right now, like the theatrical window is now shrunk from 90 days to 45 days. And 45 days like is really not that long in the long run. And I wonder if Netflix would be willing to make that trade-off of like being the home, you know, the streaming home of a new Christopher Nolan movie and all the attention that that would draw for, you know, on for the sacrifice on their end of like putting the movie in theaters just for 45 days and then having it being available instantly at Netflix. I wonder if like the new normal and the, you know, traditional models and stuff have been shaken up to such a degree that Netflix would actually be willing to do something like that since that window is now so much smaller than it used to be. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that. So let's now transition into the big story of the day, which is Scarlett Johansson has sued Disney over the Black Widow streaming release. Chris, tell me what's going on there.
Yeah, so movie stars, they have this bonus thing worked out where they get a certain bonus paid depending on how well a film does theatrically. And a lot of, because of this, a lot of actors are very upset at the current film landscape where a lot of stuff is going straight to streaming, or it's going to streaming at the same time as theaters. Warner Brothers got into a lot of trouble with their lineup of stars and directors when they decided to drop all their 2021 movies directly to HBO Max as well as theaters, so much so that they had to like renegotiate deals with some people. And now something similar is happening with Disney, where Scarlett Johansson and her, you know, her team of lawyers, who are probably very well paid, are fighting against how Disney handled Black Widow. They filed a lawsuit in Los Angeles Superior Court that states that Black Widow had been guaranteed a wide theatrical release when Johansson signed her deal with Marvel. And because of the way Disney put it on Disney Plus, she's alleging that they broke their deal and they cost her the figure being quoted is somewhere around $50 million basically that she got screwed out of here because of the way Disney handled this. So
wow.
That's, you know, this is a big deal because Disney is huge. You know, Disney pretty much runs the landscape of film right now, and to have one of their stars fight back against them is gonna, you know, get a lot of attention, and rightly so. You know, don't get me wrong here. I you know, while I appreciate artists, I want artists to get paid what they're worth. I have a hard time being like, ah, poor Scarlett Johansson, because, you know, she has more money than I will ever have. But, you know, it's a point, you know, they have a contract here, and, you know, they iron that contract out. And to make things worse, not right before release, but closer to release, there are emails between Disney and Scarlett Johansson's people where Disney is like, look, don't worry, we're not going to do this without negotiating with you. And then they just never got around to negotiating. So
yeah, those emails, actually, I was reading about this in the Wall Street Journal, and they said that those emails took place in 2019. This was before the pandemic even happened. It was like, I think Scarlett Johansson probably saw the writing on the wall, realized that Disney Plus was going to become a thing, because that streaming service launched in, I think, November of 2019. So she probably, you know, like saw all the hubbub about that and was like, wait a second, I've got this movie that's supposed to be coming out next year. Let me see if I can lock this down. And yeah, like you said, they were basically like, yeah, we're going to talk to you if we do anything, you know, if we make any changes to the plan here. And they did not talk to her. Like, it just, I mean, I understand what you're saying about, you know, it being a little tough to feel bad for Scarlett Johansson, but like, the alternative is siding with Disney on this. And I have a hard time siding with Disney as well, in a scenario where they're seemingly, nickel and diming, some of their employees. So
it's like Alien versus Predator, whoever wins, we lose. So.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think, so you were bringing up in the Slack, like, to what degree, do you think that we can say that Johansson may have filed this suit because Black Widow is supposed to be the last thing that she makes with Marvel? Do you think that, you know, if this exact same scenario had happened, but, you know, a couple years ago, Marvel had said, oh, by the way, Scarlett Johansson's sticking around for one or two more movies or something. Do you think this, the circumstances of this deal and the pandemic and all of this kind of stuff are big enough? I mean, this is a completely theoretical, asking you to just like put yourself in Scarlett Johansson's head here. But do you think that really has a lot to do with it here?
Yeah, I do think that's definitely playing part. Like, I do think if she had a contract for more movies, they probably would have tried to keep this like behind the scenes maybe, but now she's like, I have nothing to lose. And, you know, so, but again, that's, you know, who am I to read Scarlett Johansson's mind? For all I know, there could be something different, but I do think that plays a part.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, again, it's like worth noting, I think, that this is one of the very few times that, that a major movie star has like gone head to head with somebody in the Disney / Marvel clan, because the promotional I guess the image that Disney and Marvel put forth to the public is that, you know, Marvel is a big happy family and like everybody gets along and it's all great. And like, yeah, we had some instances early on with Edward Norton and like Terrence Howard where things sort of got brushed under the rug, or like Edgar Wright's Ant-Man and Patty Jenkins' Thor: The Dark World. But like those days are long behind us and everybody is all happy-go-lucky and everything's great here. And now this is like one of the biggest stars in Hollywood just like saying, wait a second, screw this. I'm not going to just like take this lying down, which seems like it could have potentially some pretty big ramifications for future deals like this as well. Especially considering how the Delta variant is still, you know, out there and ravaging the country. And like, it doesn't seem like the idea of putting movies either directly to streaming or like day and date or whatever is going to go away anytime soon. So I feel like this is going to be a model that people are going to have to contend with for a little while. And it takes a long time for cases like this to make their way through the courts. I think the Frank Darabont's Walking Dead case like just now got settled, and yes, that was filed like, I don't even know how many years ago.
I mean, it had to be filed like after the, because he got fired like the first season, and they're now on like what, season 35 or something of that
yeah,
show?
So I think it's really like season 10 or 11 now, but yeah, wow. So that's a long time, and I wonder like if these issues will still be in play by the time this actually does like get in front of a judge. It's kind of it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
I think they're going to like settle. Like, Disney doesn't want to go to court. They're just gonna be like, here, Scarlett Johansson, they can afford it. Disney can afford to give all of us money, and they should.
I wonder because like the, you know, Disney is one of those companies where like, if I feel like they're so concerned with setting precedents, where like if they were to sort of bend over and like be like, okay, yeah, we made a mistake, you know, just like admit fault, that it might be something that where they see that it like opens the door for other people to sort of come after them, and it's like open season on Disney or something. Yeah. I wonder if they're just gonna like, you know, grind their heels in and just say, you know, screw this, we're gonna fight you the entire way, even though it would really be probably more advantageous to them in the long run to just like quietly settle. But lots to think about there. Any closing thoughts on this, Chris, or any other observations about this stuff that you may have seen like anybody else make? I know we're not like super into the financial side of the industry at Slashfilm, but I know you follow some people on Twitter who talk about this stuff.
You know, Scott Mendelson, who writes about really the box office for Forbes, he had an interesting tweet I saw where he was saying basically, because Black Widow has somewhat been underperforming, you know, at the box office, it sort of bolsters Scarlett Johansson's case to say like, look, see, because you did this, your movie lost money and so did I. So I thought that was an interesting consideration there.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, we'll keep you guys posted if we hear any updates on this. I suspect it'll be a long time before we hear anything substantial anyway, but yeah, it's definitely something that the industry is going to be watching very closely. So you can find more about all the stories that we mentioned on today's show at slashfilm.com and linked inside the show notes of this episode. Slashfilm Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features that you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Google, Overcast, Spotify, all of the popular podcast apps, and send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at peter@slashhelm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts specifically. Tell your friends, spread the word. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.